Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Way back in 2005, two brothers set off on a road trip that would save the world and change television.
The Blues Brothers.
No, not the Blues Brothers. For 15 seasons and 327 episodes, Supernatural took audiences on a wild ride of family, fate, and faith with a rocking soundtrack and a seriously cool car.
But that was then, Bobbo, and this is now. And yes, the show has quote-unquote ended, but we're not quite done with the journey.
No, we're not.
And that's why we're watching it all over again, or for Rob and me, for the first time.
That's right.
Diving deep into every episode of Supernatural with the fine folks who made it. And we're taking you along for the ride.
Whether you like it or not. I'm Rob Benedict. I played Chuck Shirley, a.k.a. God.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it is a bit of a spoiler, but hey, spoilers are fair game here.
Fine. And I'm Richard Spate Jr., and I played the Trickster, also known as the Archangel Gabriel. And I did a little bit of Loki work in there.
Okay, you know what? We're running out of time.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about the entire series, so whatever we say, accept it. You've been warned.
So buckle up and settle in.
Because this, my friend, is Supernatural, then and now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Benedict.
And I am Richard Spate Jr.
And we're talking about Season 2, Episode 17, Heart.
But before we get into that, let's do a little of this, Robbie. Happy Halloween!
You know what? We want to see your Halloween pictures. So tag hashtag SPN then and now and post them onto your Instagram and your Twitter.
We want to see him. Let us see him. Come on, let us take a peek.
Extra bonus if you're dressed like, I was going to say Sam or Dean, but hell, if you're dressed like Loki or Chuck.
Yeah, you know what? If you're dressed like Sam and Dean, just remember, everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
Dust off a classic and a rarity like a Chuck or a Loki.
Yeah. Extra credit for anyone who dresses like a character from Heart.
Or extra credit if you dress like Rob looks right now. If for somehow you have a bead on what he's wearing at this very moment. If you can dress like Rob during the Heart podcast.
Extra credit if you dress like the FBI agent I hire.
To get to the bottom of who was in your house.
To get to the bottom of why you can see me right now. Hey, let's get into Heart.
The summary.
Sam and Dean head to San Francisco to investigate a series of violent deaths.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to investigate all the violent deaths.
It's a great song. It's the verse no one ever quite heard. The boys suspect werewolves.
Like you do.
Dean gets really excited by the prospect of hunting werewolves.
Like he does.
They head to Madison, one of the last people to see the most recent victim alive. Not Madison, Wisconsin. She was the victim's assistant, and she mentions to Sam and Dean that he could be kind of a dirtbag after a few drinks.
Yeah.
She also mentions that her jealous ex-boyfriend, Kurt, saw her boss hitting on her before he died. So right away, we're like, okay, got a couple real clear suspects.
Yeah, man.
Not to mention the creepo that's her friend who lives across the hall.
Yeah. Big red herring there, but go on.
Yeah. The boys find claw marks outside Kurt's apartment window. A cop is mauled nearby. The guys are concerned for Madison to decide to split up. Sam will stay with Madison in her apartment, and creepy Dean, who doesn't want to go, he will go and go to the streets to look for Kurt. Sam and Madison flirt before she heads to bed. Dean is at Kurt's apartment and finds him dead.
Oh, no.
I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. Sam and Madison flirt before she heads to bed. Dean is at Kurt's apartment and finds him dead. With a werewolf Madison in the room!
Ah!
All caps. She rushes out, knocking Dean down, but he manages to slice her arm with a silver knife. The next morning, Sam and Dean confront Madison. She denies knowing anything, but she does have a scar on her arm from the knife, so we know it's her.
We know it's her. We saw the scar on her arm from the knife.
So do the boys, and they tie her to a chair. She has a bite mark on the back of her neck, similar to the other victims. John had a theory that if you kill the lead werewolf, you could cure the people it has bitten. So Dean goes on the hunt to find the werewolf. Madison, she wolfs out. Sam is able to lock her in her room in a closet. And Dean finds the werewolf and kills it. P.S. It's the creepy dude across the hall.
Yeah, shocking nobody.
Dean sees that it is Madison's creepy neighbor, and they hope that this does it. Sam and Dean stake out her apartment just to be sure. One more night. She invites them both upstairs rather than have them, you know, just sit in their car.
That's not cool.
The evening comes and goes, and Madison doesn't transform. Dean heads back to the hotel.
That's good news. Problem solved, right?
Right. But yet, I checked the timer. We still got 15 minutes left. I'm like, this ain't done.
Uh-oh.
You know what 10 minutes of that is?
What?
Sam and Madison getting down in her apartment.
Like, were they up? They're on a ladder and they have to get down?
No. They do the nasty.
Oh, they have to, like, clean up some mess?
They make passionate love.
Out of paper mache?
Sam awakens in the middle of the night, and Madison has wolfed out. She jumps out of the window and into the night. Sam calls Dean. There doesn't seem to be a cure. Eventually, Madison calls them, distraught because she's lost and has no memory of the night. When she returns, you know, I bet she does remember.
What?
That sweet, sweet love she made to Sam.
Out of paper mache?
When she returns, she begs them to kill her. She doesn't want to live her life as a monster. This tears Sam up. But
what tears him up?
Killing her. He's going to have to kill her.
All right.
And Dean's like, I got this one, Sammy. But Sammy's like, no, Dean, I want to do it. And so Sam, tears in his eyes, reluctantly goes in the other room and shoots her in the heart with a silver bullet. End of episode.
Wait, he shoots who in the heart?
You know what? If you don't want to listen to these summaries, I can't.
It's very upsetting, but I could have sworn you just said, and shoots in the heart.
He shoots her in the heart. He kills the werewolf, her.
What? Oh.
Yeah, did you see the episode?
I did. I liked it. It's a good one. This is a good segue, Robbie, because we can talk about it right now. You ready?
Yeah. Here's what
review.
I
review. It's time for the Rob and Rich review.
I feel like rather than, you know, season one Monster of the Week, they all by the end of the season all had kind of the same format, the same formula. And I feel like this season we really are seeing them break out of that formula. And this is one of those where, like, you know, you think it's going to go one way. You're right. There's the red herring, which was that was a giveaway that the guy across the hall. But you don't put it together that it's going to have to end with this woman dying.
No, and, man, you don't. It's really
then,
well
and then
done.
And her and Sam have this, like, romance.
Well, that, you know, you kind of saw, you know, bacon in the oven. But the whole end of the thing where suddenly she's uncurable and they have to take her out and then Sam has to do the dirty deed of taking her out. I mean, man, it's very intense. And I'll be honest, I didn't see that part coming. I thought for sure there'd be some TV solve right before Sammy has to pull the trigger.
Right.
But there's not.
There are a couple things in the episode I feel like were a bit dated. I feel like, I mean, the boys come on strong to her at the beginning. They're a bit creepy.
Oh, very. I mean, very, very not 2022 with their approach
staying
to hitting on a woman.
Yeah.
And also the whole, like, rock, paper, scissors, who gets the hot chick?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Right.
And the boss at the beginning, the drunk boss, is like, let's get together back in the
office. I need you to take notes at midnight.
Yeah. And what about poor Kurt? I mean, Kurt gets a bad rap. Kurt's just he's just a creepy ex-boyfriend that just gets mauled to death.
Just walks around, standing around. Yeah, I know.
And the maulings, very, very bloody. Very bloody and graphic deaths here.
Yeah, very, very graphic deaths. You want to know a little trivia?
What?
The policeman who gets mauled?
Yeah.
That's Rob Hader, who became the stunt coordinator on Supernatural.
That's Rob Hader?
After Lou Bolo left, yeah.
No way. Yeah. I did not recognize that as Rob Hader. That's crazy.
Go back and look, and you'll be like, oh my God, it's Rob Hader.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah, Rob was the stunt coordinator after Lou, who choreographed, you know, my entire last episode.
But all that to say, Robbie, let's wrap this up with, like, our real deep-seated thoughts. I hear you in the dated thing. That's to be expected, right? In some of these shows that are super old, especially their approach towards the ladies.
Yes.
But it recovers from that nicely, I think.
Yeah. And we have a little love story that I felt like was sort of a departure. And we got to see a side of Sam that, you know, as an actor, I thought he really nailed that stuff. He was really great. The tears and the emotion, I really believed it. You know, two amazing actresses back to back. Tricia Helfer in the one before this. And now Emmanuel Vaugier did such a terrific job in this.
Such a good job. The linchpin of the whole episode. It all hangs on her. Jared and Jensen are always amazing. But getting a guest star who can act at their level and deliver a super strong performance for them to play off of is critical, especially in this kind of role, much like with Trisha's role. And I think Emmanuel just did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, how about that monster vision? Do you think that was Brad running around with the camera?
Yes. With some funky lens on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really well done, I thought. Yeah, so.
Wouldn't it be weird if that's just how Brad sees the world, and that's actually not some weird lens. They took the lenses off and just confirmed that it was, you know, that's Brad's perception of life.
Could be. My overall ranking of this episode is, what are you going to say? You go first this time.
I'm going to say it is not a Chris Stapleton. I'm dialing it back from my what I consider to be the ultimate five-star review, the Chris Stapleton.
Yes.
I'm going with, what's the right way to go? I want to go with like Kenny Rogers. He's a nice beard, well-groomed, you know what I mean? I'm going Kenny Rogers.
Not to be confused with my Kenny Loggins.
No, your Kenny Loggins is very similar to your Kenny Loggins. It's just, you know, it's right. Sort of the country music version of your Kenny Loggins. Kenny Loggins, I think, has a fuller, in this 1970s Kenny Loggins you've been referencing, he has that big full beard. That's kind of your perfect score. Yeah. I think hanging on to the performance by Jared and Emmanuel, it's a great episode. And I think that it deserves a full beard. It doesn't get the perfect episode score of the Stapleton, but right. It gets a nice, solid Kenny Rogers from me.
Along those same lines, I'm going to do the 80s Kenny Loggins.
A little more trimmed, not quite the 70s
exactly.
Pizzazz.
Exactly. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we got the double Kenny for this one.
Double Kenny.
80s Loggins and the Rogers.
The classic Rogers.
Yeah.
Well, we have a real treat here. We're going to get to talk to Emmanuel Vaugier, who played Madison. Her TV credits include Supergirl, MacGyver, Covert Affairs. This lady has worked. Magna PI, Two and a Half Men, CSI, New York, and Smallville.
Small.
Film credits include Saw 2 and 4, House of the Dead 2, Secondhand Lions, and 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Wait a minute. Is that two films, 40 Days and then the sequel, 40 Nights? Or is the film called 40 Days and 40 Nights? The way it's written, I can't tell.
We may never know.
Bring her on and end this madness.
It's all in one, it's all the same movie. So excited to have her with us, Emmanuel Vaugier. We're very happy to have with us today the star of this episode, Emmanuel Vaugier. How did I do?
Très bon.
Awesome.
Good. Merci. Okay. You were amazing in this episode. What a great guest star this was for you.
Thank you. I actually rewatched the episode last night because that was a while ago. I think I need to rewatch that and refresh my brain. And I was like, it was a really good episode. I was like,
No, it's heavy. I mean, there's a lot going on in this episode and you don't see it coming. You know what I mean? Like it's got a lot of twists and turns. It's a really well executed episode and substantial in its substance, if you will.
And then did you audition? Was it an offer? How did that
work? It was a straight offer, which was a nice surprise. It's always nice when you get those. And I was like, fantastic. I was excited to do the show. It was in its second season, I believe, season 2.
Yeah.
Now I look back, I'm like, oh my goodness, like it's been 18 years.
It's crazy. I know. It's funny when we do these interviews with people too, we're asking questions, we're asking them to remember something that happened on set, you know, 18 years ago. That being said, you are one of the few people that got to make love to Jared Padalecki on the show. That must have been, what was that like? I mean, working with Jared in that way. I mean, you guys, it was very emotional developing that relationship. Did you know him? Did you go in? Did you meet them on set?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't met Jared before. I knew Jensen through friends. So we had met before just casually, but I had never met Jared before. And they're both lovely. And yeah, I mean, I think we were both I was nervous about the whole lovemaking scene. And I think he was a bit nervous about it. He hadn't done one before. So like, it was his first time doing anything like that.
Wow.
But he was he's so lovely and sweet and nice. And like, it was easy. It didn't feel like, you know, weird or awkward as little, you know, I mean, they're always weird and awkward because you've got 50 people watching you in a bed and you're half naked. So with a camera far away from your face. Yeah. They're like, there's nothing natural or sexy about any of it.
No.
But I remember we were laughing, like the wardrobe. And I don't know, I have to ask him if they actually did this, but we were joking. We're like, oh, okay. So, because, you know, he hadn't done anything like this. So it's like, what do you wear? All these things, you know, they've got like the little Spanx, like compression things for the guys and the girls too, like, you know, tape. we joked, I was like, we should just leave like a robe, some top stick and a sock in his trailer.
Right.
And just see what he says, like, see what happens. And I just, we were laughing hysterically about that, but I don't know if they actually did that to him or if that was.
I think if they actually had done that, you would have seen Jared coming to set wearing a sock. I have a feeling he would have embraced that.
I don't know. I think he might have squashed that at the outset. He would have walked out and been like, guys, what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. And he, but it was very tastefully done. It was the way he came out was very tastefully done.
Yes, yeah, so it's a cool scene, man. And also cool in that and where it plays in the story. For the lack of, you know, I know it's a CW show and they wanted to have romance and everything, but it didn't feel overly frivolous because your guys' relationship was built on this sort of shared conflict and need of each other in that moment. And it was cool. It was well done.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, and they actually didn't. It didn't happen so early in the episode. They allowed it to build and make sense and be a bit more organic in what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so also, so when you're the werewolf, you have crazy mouth and eyes. Did you have fake eyes as well?
They took my eyeballs out. They removed my eyeballs.
That's a commitment.
Big pressure for this role. Lots of potential blindness.
No, I had... bright blue, but my eyes are so dark that in order for them to actually look that blue, they basically had to blind me. And there was like a teeny tiny hole for me to see. So I could barely, they were leading me around.
Wow.
So if it was dark, I could, and then the fangs were, you know, they had them specially mold fitted or whatever. Like I couldn't eat or drink anything really. Once those were in, it was like, okay, we're shooting for a while and I could drink a little bit through a straw.
Yeah. And then how'd you ask for it? I get my coffee. Can you bring me my coffee? You have those fake teeth in. It's like diction goes out the window.
Yeah. I've had to do that before. Thank God you didn't have any lines as the werewolf, because that's really tricky.
Yeah, because then you're lisping and it's like, you can't. And I was drooling constantly.
Drooling. You're the drool.
Because like that's...
I really, really hurry. I can't help it. So let me ask you this. Did you, since they were specially made fangs just for you...
No, I did not get to keep them.
Damn it.
I know.
You knew where I was going.
And then there was a lot of physicality with the werewolf. Did you have to talk about that with, did Kim Manners direct this?
He did. He was a lovely, lovely man. And there was a lot of physicality, especially with the scene with Jensen, because there's a lot of thrashing about. And I mean, you always work that stuff out ahead of time. As you know, it's just sort of choreographed.
Sure.
But it's always... fairly like, because I mean, Jensen's a big guy. Like I was watching the episode. I'm like, I'm pouring them coffee and they're like way up here. My coffee cup's like here. Cause they're like 6'4" and I'm 5'6" and I'm like, and I'm wearing flats in that. And I'm like, oh my God, they're huge. So, you know, like, it's That's sort hilarious. Of like, they don't really know their own strength. They're so big. So we had to kind of work stuff out. Yeah. I mean, he was lovely and gentle and sweet about it, but you know, like he is substantially larger than I am. So he could easily pick me up and throw me and he'd be like, oh, whoops, didn't mean to do that.
Ahoy, Rich Spade here. Hope you're enjoying the episode, but we got to pull over for a second for some messages.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Connell from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on.
without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer N.C. Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
Thanks for supporting Supernatural then and now. And now, back to the show. And you know, you mentioned that Kim Manners directed this one, which he did, and he was a legend in the Supernatural universe and TV in general, but he was the producing director for so many years that helped craft the look of the show. And he was quoted, I assume, in an interview from years ago, talking about this episode, and he says, about you, he says, she brought a quality to that werewolf that was much like Lon Chaney Jr. He brought a vulnerability to his monsters, and you felt compassion toward them because they suffered such pain. And I think Emmanuelle captured that in her performance in this episode.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's amazing.
Beautiful quote from...
Yeah.
From the late, great Kim Manners. I thought you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, no, that's that is very, very lovely. Thank you.
And it's true. It's a, you know, we started this interview by talking about the complexity of this episode. It's not your damsel in distress episode. There's a lot more going on here with this character. And I mean, God, the journey of this story is really intense. I got to tell you, like as a watching it for the first time, which I did, and Rob, you probably watched it for the first time. I just, because it's a TV show, I was expecting it to get easy for the solve at the end, and it does not. You know, it stays complex the whole way through. And that's really what makes Supernatural awesome, is that they would do stuff like that. They would tackle things in that way that separated it from your rank and file CW good-looking people show. They weren't afraid to go dark and stay dark and live there. And it really pays off in a big way with some great acting by you and Jared and Jensen.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I was really, like you said, it's different from the usual CW fare, because they do dig a lot deeper, and you know, they're not afraid to take the emotional journey. So that was a pleasant surprise, because oftentimes that's not the case. Just because they, you know, their formula is quite different for the CW generally. This was a departure from that.
Yeah, and if Supernatural is built on the idea of surprising you, like jump scare and that kind of thing, I'll say that this episode surprised me in its emotional depth. I just did not see that coming. At the end, when they hit that resolution that there's only one way out for you in this scenario, I was like, what? Really? And I kept waiting for there to be a turn or something, and it never happened. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Holy cow, this is brazen TV. It's brazen TV for now, but especially network TV 14 years ago. I mean, you know, 15 years ago. That's it. I mean, it's really impressive. Now, there was so much emotion in that scene where you come to that realization, and then Jared comes to his sidebar realization that he's got to be the one to do it. Do you recall where in the schedule that took place? Like, had you guys known each other for a minute at this point, or... Because that would help, I would think.
I believe so. I don't think they had scheduled that right at the beginning. It's sort of like the lovemaking scene too was not scheduled. Kim was very conscious of that and sensitive to the fact that that would affect performance even if we didn't want it to, it naturally would, just because we wouldn't, you know, it makes it that much harder if you don't know the person, if that's your first scene out of the gate. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it works out great. I mean, like, it just makes your job as an actor harder. But I don't recall it being first up, like, in the first few days.
Good.
And did you do any work with Jared offset in terms of preparing for it?
No.
That's amazing. It's amazing, really, truly. I mean, you come in, you meet these guys, and then boom, you throw into this role that's very intense. Right.
Yeah, thank you. No, it was well written too. You know, it was well crafted. So yeah. That all those things, and Jared was very easy to work with. They're both very talented, and so I was lucky to step in and step onto a set that was so well run and, you know, stocked with talent. So that made my job easier.
Well, it was just a super unique and special episode. You did a great job, and that's no small feat, because if you don't deliver, the episode suffers. It's not a small part. Like, the whole part hinges on your performance and your relationship with Jared in the episode. You did a great job, and it's just such a unique episode in that it never has the tip up. It just goes right down into the dark and takes us along with it. And it does so effectively because of the great work you brought to the table, and the great work that Jared brought to the table, really. I mean, it's always Jared and Jensen, but Jared had the heavier lifting in this one, and it was just really impressive. Great job.
And real tears.
Real tears. Yeah. Yeah.
Real.
You know, there's a scene at the beginning that our first shot of you, I think, when you're talking to the people at the bar, and that drunk guy comes up and kind of hits
your
on
boss.
You. Yeah. Someone you work with. Yeah, your boss. And I thought you did such a great job in that scene, because I don't know why, for some reason that really stuck with me, because you're working with a lot of extras and that guy who just has that, you know, that one scene, and you have a real familiarity with all of them. I totally believe that you work with these people, you know, and that's not easy when you're, because I, you know, understand you're just not talking about nothing with some extras that you don't really know. And you really made that real.
Well, thank you. Though I think now I remember that scene and the stuff at the office where I find the body and everything, and the dramatic smash of the coffee. I was like, oh, that? I'm excited. Kim Manners special. And the scream. That was first up. We shot those things.
That makes sense.
That'd be a good thing to start with.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, that scene, Rob, I was watching that scene going, man, I wish I had that much fun with my coworkers. Just laughing it up.
Right.
Having a great time.
I wish I had that many friends, period.
Yeah. And I never get hit on by my boss. Lucky. Why doesn't that ever happen to me? Well, thank you so much for doing this interview. It's great to have you, because you were so key in making this episode as strong as it is. And you did a great job. And it's just been a delight to meet you and talk to you about this very significant episode.
Wait, I have one more thing. We hear you love animals. Is that true?
I do.
How many
do
you have?
I have two dogs, Jack and Bella, a little 7-pound toy poodle, and a Maltipoo that's 12. And I have a horse.
Wow. Yes. A horse? Not living in your house.
Sadly, no. A little large.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Have you always been an animal person?
Always, ever since I was little. And I like always been a, you know, wanted a pony from a young age. And all I ever had was, like, you know, the little My Little Ponies. And
and
then you showed them. Now you got your own horse.
So I'm like, hey, look at me now, Mom. I got a full size pony.
My biggie pony.
Yeah, so I got myself my little Barbie pony a few years back. And it's fun. I love it.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Outstanding.
Well, you're really terrific in this, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you again for everything. That was awesome.
This is Jared Padalecki stopping in to say hi and let you know that we've got to take a quick break.
Hey, everybody, Richard Speight Jr. here, and if you know one thing about this guy, it's that I love boots. I wear them all the time, and that's why I love Tecovas, because they are the real deal. These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the boot-making capital of the world, León, Mexico. Tecovas are all about style, comfort, and tradition, and they're not just about boots. Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples, like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans to go with your boots, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it, They got it, and they will get you outfitted. Tecovas believes in Western for all, and you can feel it when you go into the store. You'll walk in. You're going to be greeted like family. Unless you don't like your family, in which case you'll be greeted by people nicer than your family. They'll offer you a boot shine, unless you're wearing sandals, and they'll even hand you a drink. And it'll be the hard stuff if that's what you want. Rob Benedict, I'm looking at you. And right then and there, you can get custom fitted for a brand new pair of boots. You can even get custom leather stamping or branding that'll make those brand new boots truly one of a kind. All you gotta do is stop by Tecovas and get into your new boots today. But Rich, I can't make it into a store. They got you covered. Just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So get on over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Richard Speight, and I got a question for you. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the frickin' planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And hey, all of this sounds fantastic, but the proof is in the pudding, and what I mean is, do the dogs like it? Well, I can speak for my own dog, Luna. She freaking loves it. And that's saying something, because she's no vacuum cleaner, you know? I've seen dogs eat a sofa, but not Luna. Luna is very persnickety, very high maintenance, especially when it comes to what she eats. And Luna went crazy for this food, and I'm loving what it's doing for her. She's got great energy. She looks fantastic, and I'm assuming she feels great. She usually just says, arf, but I'm going to interpret that as, you know what, Rich? Feeling pretty good. So how do you get this fantastic food for your dog? Go to badlands.com/SPNTAN. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com/SPNTAN today.
Thanks for listening. Now, back to the episode.
Boy, that was great, huh? She's so terrific.
It was great. And I just absolutely loved hearing her unpack the depth and weight of the character and the exploration it took and the emotional impact it had on her and Jared to do both the lovemaking and the death sequence. And I loved your follow-up question about kittens. I thought that was a strong finish.
So, I heard she loved animals. And
kudos.
I
kudos. We like pull us back from the brink of a cataclysmic death sequence into your My Little Pony Q&A.
I heard she liked animals.
You did.
Listen, you know what I found really interesting was that they didn't do any, there was no offset work. I mean, look, there rarely is on TV shows like this, but it's also rare that you have that intense of a acting job to do with someone else and really have no rehearsal.
Yeah, I know. That was very intense. They had to dive right into it. It's very impressive.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the mythology of this episode.
Mythology.
There are various theories on ways to cure a werewolf bite.
Really? Do tell, Robert.
A Sicilian and Arabic theory was striking it on the scalp with a knife. Another was using nails to pierce its hands.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So, hold on.
Yeah.
Nice to see the Sicilians and the Arabs getting together on something. Like, you don't hear of that team up very often.
Yeah.
The old 1-2 punch.
What I'm assuming is a butter knife.
And
just give it a good rap on the head.
The Sicilian, like, well, what do you think it would do? Well, here's my idea. They take a knife and strike the werewolf. So you have to wait for the person to become a werewolf and then hit it on the scalp with
a knife.
With a knife.
Yeah. Huh. You just take like a butter knife and you just give it a good whack.
A little handle bump. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other one is to take nails and pierce his hands. But it's all very up close and personal with the werewolf. Too bad there's no distant way to approach this cure.
I feel like it was the Sicilians were the ones that want to use the nails in the hands.
Yeah, that does sound very Sicilian. You know what I mean? Sure why, but why not?
A German theory was that you had to address it three... you had to address it three times by its Christian name. Which, very easy. I mean...
Lance. There, you're good.
Cured. You just, that's hilarious. Those Germans, they had it down. That's all you do. And then the Danish believed.
Rolf.
The Danish.
You're good, go home.
The Danish believed that you only had to scold a werewolf to return it to its human form.
I'm tired of these shenanigans. I tell you now to give it a rest. And they're going home now that they're a human form. And why are they Italian, Mexican, with a little bit of Swedish?
I don't know.
That's the region I chose.
Other cures involved exorcism or potions involving wolfbane.
What's wolfbane?
Wolfbane is a liqueur.
Okay.
From Lisbon. Wolfbane. When's the last time you had a good shot of wolfbane, Rich?
It's been a minute. But I do have to go out and trim the wolfbane that's going around the driveway.
It's the name of my high school band, actually.
You know what, dude? Without question, there's some band floating around right now.
Wolfbane.
Named Wolfbane, for sure.
Hey, let's get in some fun facts.
Fun facts.
Dean says, I'd say Kurt's looking more and more like our Cujo. Cujo is a film based on a novel by Stephen King about a rabid dog. The film, Cujo, was produced by Bob Singer.
I had no idea. That Bob Singer produced Cujo? That's crazy.
Me neither.
That is a fun fact. This is the first time Sam sleeps with a woman that Rob covets. Whoops, sorry, start again.
That's not true. It's not the first time.
Yeah, it's not true. This is the first time Sam sleeps with a woman since the death of Jessica.
Yeah, it's a big deal for Sam.
Very big deal.
Yeah, no wonder he's so emotional about it.
It's not all slap fodder for you, Robbie.
Yeah. I really felt for him in that scene, you know? It's like because of Jessica... Dean gives him the gun and he's like, I just got to go kill another girlfriend.
Yeah, that stinks. He's 0 for 2.
Yeah.
In the keeping girlfriends alive department.
This is the first appearance of werewolves in the series.
Oh, yeah. And they'll be around for a while.
Yeah.
The Turkish word Kurt means wolf.
And the
Turkish word Rob means hot for Jared's co-star.
I knew that was coming. I know you so well that I knew that's exactly the joke you're going to make. Two of the names you see in the credits at the end of the show, Madison and Sam, are watching. Oh, yeah. I wondered about this.
Yeah, and I paused that to read it. Did you do that?
I did not.
Yeah, it's fine.
Michael T. Moore and Olive Ehrenauer. Michael T. Moore was the script coordinator on Supernatural from 2005 to 2008, and Olive Ehrenauer was producer Todd Ehrenauer's dog.
Oh, yeah. There you
That's
go.
That's funny.
They used the real, like, Brad Creaser. They had some actual crew names in there, too.
Did they?
Fun.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Yeah.
Sam and Dean, this is your department, but I'll say it.
Okay.
The sex scene was filmed at the end of the schedule so that Jared and Emmanuel could get comfortable with each other. That makes sense.
Yeah, and she confirmed that. Boy, he works out. I'm going to go out on a limb, but I think he works out.
Jared? Yeah, every now and then.
Sam and Dean used the aliases Detective Dante and Detective Landis. Joe Dante directed The Howling in 1981, and John Landis directed An American Werewolf in London in 1981.
Both great movies, man. I loved both those movies.
Both great movies, and I did not put that together. In my mind, I was like, what's Dante and Landis?
I knew it was Joe Dante and John Landis. I didn't put together the werewolf directing part of it. I didn't put together the Howling.
I put together that it was Dante and Landis, and I put together it was Howling and London. I didn't put together they both were in 1981.
I didn't put together they both use Panavision lenses. You're ridiculous.
Listen, follow more of this ridiculousness on Patreon. Join our Patreon for more fun at patreon.com/SPN then and now.
We're also on Instagram and Twitter, Robbie. I mean, like, let us not forget that you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter at SPN then and now. But of course, Robbie's right. Patreon is really where it's at with all the bonus material, the clips, the photos, the bonus interviews. It's all there. Go check it out, patreon.com/SPN then and now.
Well, this was fun, Rich, as always.
It's so fun, so fun. Great, great interview with Emmanuel. She was just a delight and so good on the show. It's always fun to hear the real stories of excellence from the fantastic guest stars that populate the Supernatural universe.
100%. She was lovely, and I'm just excited for the next one.
Same, buddy. Same, same.
All right, I'll see you then.
Yep.
This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester and Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester.
Guest stars included Emmanuel Vaugier, Brad Dryborough, and G, Patrick Curry.
Heart was written by Sarah Gamble and directed by Kim Manners.
Kind of a 1-2 punch of greatness right there.
Mm-hmm.
Edited by Anthony Pinker, music by Jay Gruska.
Supernatural is executive produced by Eric Kripke and Robert Singer.
The episode featured the following songs: Look at You by Screaming Trees, Silent Lucidity by Kreinzreich. Yeah, I heard that coming on. I'm like, oh, dropping the Reich.
Yeah.
Smoking Gun by Kip Winger. And Down on the Street by the Stooges.
Stooges. This episode originally aired on March 22nd, 2007.
This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Speight Jr. and Rob Benedict.
Produced by Stephen Hine, written by Stephen Hine and Haida Holscher.
And edited and associate produced by Trey Booty.
What up, Booty? Music provided by Tim Wynn.
The episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media. Remind me how to say
Vaugier.
Your last name.
Yeah.
Vaugier. Okay. It's mm-hmm. French.
It is. Oui, oui. Oui.
Are you French?
My parents are from France.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Okay.
All right. We're very excited to have with us today the star of this episode, Emmanuel Vaugier.
You did it so wrong.
Vaugier. You are one of the few people that got to make love to Jared Padalecki.
That's one thing you and Rob have in common.
No.
Story Mill Media.